Bringing the Wall Down. Welcome back to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Band of Blades, episode 9, part 1. We are still in the Temple of Kavala, lighting those flames and fending off those undead. This episode, we got Jay back, which is very fun because we get to see him as Matali, the Rhino. This episode centers around two major conflicts. Matali versus the wall. I mean, Matali versus Varyevich. And all the rest of us against Irag the Flayed. We sort of did everything we could to this guy. And he's one tough cookie. A little spoiler note from the book. Not really a spoiler, it's in the book. Just a little quote from the book. Render feeds him pure cinder blood, giving him immense strength. Oh yeah. This guy was fun. Hope you enjoy the continuation of the Flames of Kavala. Hello, welcome to Actual Play, Band of Blades. We have returned from an incomplete mission last time. We had Alice on. She was playing with us, and we got into all sorts of trouble. And now we're bringing Jay back to get us out of it. So, good times. I'm Sean. I use he, him pronouns. You can find me everywhere at Sean Nittner. And I'm very excited to blow more shit up and defend the flames of Kavala. How about you, Misha?
Hi, Misha B. I found out I've gotten my very first cover credit. And it's coming out soon. And it's very cool. And it's a little weird. I'm Misha B online, BG Gameworks on Twitter, Black Girl Gameworks elsewhere. That's my week.
Is your first cover credit Fate of Cthulhu, or is there another one?
Yes,
yeah, yep, that's I was like, one. I think that's us, but I don't want to be like, well, the only one. Yes.
How about you, Jay?
I'm Jay. I guess I'm back to save everybody. So that'll be interesting because I don't
know. No pressure.
I don't even know. I don't know.
Did you not watch the last ep? Well, yeah. I guess a recap is in order.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna have to bring you up to speed.
Awesome. I use he, him. I'm MadJ0 on Twitter, and I'm also your host on the Diceology podcast.
Nice. I picked that up. I listened to that and Daydreaming About Dragons now. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Oh, I love Judd's Daydreaming About Dragons.
Oh, it's such a fun podcast. I just love him. Just kind of, I get the feeling like he's just walking around his house, petting his cat, washing dishes. He's just like musing on this game thing, this other thing. It's a real fun.
No, it's Diceology, awesome. Though. You should check it out. It's a good podcast.
Well,
it's got Jay.
Yeah.
And usually a guest.
What about you, Jen?
I'm Jen Martin. I use she, her pronouns. I feel like this week has gone by very quickly, but in a sort of stressful way. But last night, my child and I got matching haircuts, so that was super fun.
They look awesome.
Thank you. Theirs is mint green and looks great. I can't remember if I said I'm Jen Martin 80 on Twitter. I apparently am way more spacey this evening than I was aware of. So this is going to be fun. What about you, Strash?
Hey, I'm Strash, he, him. You can find me at Strash A. The only thing that I'm super hype about right now, I'm lying, I'm hype about all sorts of stuff. But the thing that I'm going to say to keep it short is Band of Blades pre-orders are live. If you want to get a copy of this book, which looks amazing, you should totally go to Evil Hat's website and pre-order it. They will be delivered to people in August. They should go live right around the time that they appear in the wild, which is at Gen Con. And if I am very, very, very lucky, next time we play this game, I may have a demo copy to show off. So
that's this time.
I do not have it today. I just get to envy Fred's tweet stream as he's like showing it off. So.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm super envious. Judd asked if Rodano's hammer in the picture on the cover is the hammer of Matiar.
No. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, I mean, like, in your... I don't know, Judd, is it in your game?
Is it in your game? Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that when you write a game, One of the ways that you write examples is you come up with a cast of characters that you use, you know, so that people kind of get used to them and their personalities and whatnot. So Marques Ferrerodano did not have the Hammer of Matiar because the Hammer of Matiar is not a canonical object in that game. It is in ours. And this is an example of why, like, not every book, every word of the book is obviously like religious canon, and you should not like memorize. You should make up cool stuff for your own games, just like this. And then if I were to commission art from Max Kostin, who's a Russian horror artist who did our cover, again, it might be the Hammer of Matiar. But I would be lying if I said that was the case, because that art was commissioned long before this campaign started. So
I'm saying it is then. Works for
okay.
me.
Okay, we're claiming it. Are we taking it back to there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm right, Connie.
Okay, it's official now.
Well, the thing that delights me is that it's like clearly a war hammer and not like a Smith's hammer. Yeah. And I love the idea that like Matiar was just like, oh yeah, no, I just build things with this giant war hammer. You got a problem with that? I just love that. To me, that is delightful. So yeah, I'm claiming it.
Awesome. I dig it. I mean, who knows the way gods work? He might just hold the hammer in one hand and then just gesture at metal and have it pound into shape.
I'd buy it.
Well, I'm sure that the Aldermani will sell that. So hey. All right, cool. Shall we do some recaps? Do we want to just do like a quick 1-2, or do people want to say their favorite scene? How do we want to do a recap?
Yeah, I'll start with what happened first, and then we can maybe ping pong around. Camp was attacked. Maybe that's not what happened first. We did a campaign thing.
It was early, but yeah.
Early, yeah. Camp was attacked by Render. Render and Zora faced off. They had a bloody, ugly battle, and Render was driven back as were his troops. But Zora was messed up, and the scene that I was delighted about was the one where the quartermaster was summoned in because she was in his quarters, and digging through reliquaries and just bleeding out everywhere. And I felt like they had a kind of connection, a sort of moment, a little bit of her humanity seemed to surface in that state. And he, not maybe coincidentally, who knows, just sent all the supplies with the mission to get her recovered. I don't know. He's never done it before. He's usually a complete miser about sending supplies, and he sent them all.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening there. But
put a lot of supplies towards this, and everybody else is like, "Who are you? And what have you done with the quartermaster?"
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was a cool, epic, big battle scene, and then a really fun, emotional moment afterward for me. That stood out.
Also, we had a remembrance for Crimson Rising Tide.
Oh, yeah.
It was very sad, but cool.
And we had to combine the
squads
and ruffle, I don't know. Somehow de-ruffle. I think we now have grinning lions or something.
Yep.
I don't
know. Yeah, we have grinning lions, yeah.
We had to send some of them along.
There was actually like a contest, and a bunch of people got like put together onto a squad. It's like the best of the best. So like, what was it? It was
it's Molly. Gray Wafting Smoke.
Yeah.
Lavio's in there.
Yep. The Thunder God.
Tanya
Coral.
Yeah.
As the
we have to protect Coral for Hellas.
Yeah.
Coral yeah, there has was cool
eel scales. They're yes. Like green, blue eel scales around their face.
There was a really cool a squad was formed, and Zora, still bleeding, was put on a cart. And they took this cart up the mountain to a very famous monastery, the monastery at Kavala. And there was this moment where was it Flavia that shoved her into fire?
Yeah, I think Flavia shoved her into fire and like threw on all the fuel.
That's right. She opened a whole bunch of stone sarcophagi, and these like bodies fell in, and this white fire erupted. And there's these like crystals atop Kavala, and this like light shines out at like, you know, 1,000 lumens every direction forever. The thing that's important to note is that Render and Zora went head to head, and Zora got pretty badly messed up, but so did Render. And so Zora is trying to cheat. She got herself shoved in this fire and she's trying to heal faster than Render, because if she doesn't, then Render's going to overrun the Legion. And so that's the thing, is Zora's in a pillar of fire somewhere in the depths of this famous ancient monastery. And Render, all of his troops have retreated and like folded up around him and like are protecting where he's like recovering. But one of his lieutenants has taken it upon himself to march all the way up the mountainside and assault Kavala with, I will refer to it as a handful of troops, but I actually mean like 100. So in this
hour five. Right,
it looked terrifying, right? Like it looked like, oh, this was going to be done. But a couple of brave legionnaires snuck out and set explosive charges on the mountainside, and they dropped a mountain on the ascending troops. And so I just want to talk about a thing here, right? Like this is I'm now merging into game. But like just talking to the audience, not just the audience, but like you folks and also anybody watching this in the future. This is a scale problem, right? So what I did was I said, I'm going to generate a scale 4 threat. And scale 1 is like a couple of people. Scale 2 is like 5 people. Scale 5 threat. Scale like 3 is like 10. 4 is like 20. And the next level up is about 40. And then finally 100. And so I was like, I'm going to throw 100 people at this problem. And you have 5 people figure out how to deal with it, right? Like you can't go toe-to-toe with them, because 5 versus 100 is not going to end well. It doesn't matter how many times you roll, they just absorb the hits into them and they'll probably just like outscale you in damage. And so the question that I challenged the Legion with is, how do you handle this problem? And the first answer that I was given was, okay. But really what we're going to do is just drop a mountain on them. And I was like, cool, make some rolls. And they did. And then in my head, I was like, Red, I'm going to cut some of these troops off. A bunch of them are going to die. And then I've reduced the scale by 1. And now they're at the walls. And the question that I'm asking is, how do you handle 1 less scale, right? And it's up to the Legion to come up with unorthodox answers and figure out solutions. Like, how do you hold off 100 people for a week so that Zora can heal in the fires? And then, like, hopefully either back you up or cut a way out of this building, you know, so that you know, like, as a team, you folks can probably handle this, but without your chosen back on our feet, you got to kind of hold for a while against impossible odds. And this is a classic question, right? Like we've seen this lots of times. World War II, there's a Russian squad of 7 that held off like almost an entire battalion. So like there's all sorts of stories about this during war times. And that's what I'm asking is, like, how is the Legion going to handle this issue? Like, what do you pull out of your butt to like deal with this problem? And this is a classic Blades question, but more importantly, it's a classic Band of Blades question. So that being said, Sean, can I ask you to flip to the roll 20 screen here?
Sure.
So I shamelessly stole this from a really cool book that I like a lot, but that is an image that I hope will inspire you. There's like some crystals on top of this monastery. It's high up in the mountains, right? Like this is the monastery of Kavala, or we'll say it is. It's clearly not. I took it from a book I like, but there you go. It's totally inspiring. But I actually have this really, really cool map.
Nice. And, hey, and it's even showing up on the stream. Perfect. That was
fortuitous. Well, actually, I was in the same position last time. You had me move it around last time. Good. So I double checked it on the video and I was like, hey. So I added a couple of minor details. The two major details that I'm going to talk about is right now, you folks are on the walls. And who is missing? I believe it's the gray. Did you send the scout or the sniper? I forget.
No, neither. It was. The scout. Never mind. I was like.
Okay, so I believe that the scout and the explosives expert are cut off because they got caught in the avalanche and they survived. They made their resistance rolls. They pulled it off.
No, I don't think we didn't get caught. Remember, it was
cut off. I believe it was the devil's bargain.
No, we didn't take it though. We didn't take the devil's bargain. Yeah. We did not. Check the die rolls if you like. We had a desperate action to get our help because we rolled a controlled.
That's right. And then I went to risky. You rolled risky. You went to desperate.
Middle and desperate, we pulled out the 6. And
we
did not take the. That's why at the end of the session, I was like, wait, we should be back. And then I realized that might have been it. So I meant to follow up with you the other time. But yeah, we thought about taking that bargain and then decided not to. If we check the roll 20, we can see like, Flavio rolled 1 and I rolled 2, and that's because of Daredevil.
Yeah. Cool.
So my hope is that we are not present in this immediate moment, but we can return.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the baddies, but you're not in trouble per se. Yeah. All right, cool. Let's just jump into it. So there's two major problems right now. The first is that obviously, let me just rewind 5 minutes into the past because Jay hasn't watched this and I'm about to throw Jay on the fire. The two key players that sort of showed up at the walls is there's this Black Oak Knight that wanders around. I'm gonna try and keep the gruesome nature just like to a five, so I'm just gonna mention how horrifying he is, but I'm not gonna like stress like how horrific it is. But he's actually, so most of the Black Oak Knights will cut symbols of loyalty to render. They'll like, you know, carve like runes and scar themselves and stuff like that. This dude is somehow alive, but he's actually removed most of his skin. He's called Irag the Flayed, and he's a giant badass. So he's at the gates single-handedly lifting up a ram that horses dragged in, and he's using it to smash the gate. So I made a little like cool red explosive sigil here. It's this one specifically. And then there's a second problem, which is obviously that the undead are trying to scale the walls. Now, folks have been boiling water and the like and preparing some defenses. So we'll talk
oil,
about
oil, boiling oil.
There's not quite enough oil to boil cauldrons of oil. you can't just find it on the ground, but boiling water tends to work on flesh just as well. The oil just makes things slick and can ignite.
Flammable.
Yes. But it requires a whole lot of oil that you can't just find arbitrarily. They've been preparing traps and things like that. So we can flash back and use things like that. But obviously, the undead have been clambering up walls and the like. And there's this moment where there's a Heartless. You've seen him before. It's the exact same one that was smashing the bridge. It's the one that's been hounding you for like since Plainsworth. This thing's been chasing you, and
it has a name.
Borievich. Borievich the Heartless. Yeah, is atop the walls with this like metal mask and bare chest, giant hole in the chest, and like this like skirt made of chainmail. And the last shot that we had was very much like a Civil War, like Captain America and Iron Man coming in, like time slowing down as like Borievich and Metalli were actually about to go head to head, because Metalli was trying to buy the rest of the Legion time to do anything other than just get overwhelmed. So those are the two sort of like fiery key points of assault. Is there is a whole bunch of undead coming in the like northwest segment, and there is a unit of Black Oak Knights, and they're like mounted cavalry, right? And they've got like hounds on chains and things like that. And there's this incredibly super strong dude who is smashing the gates with like a giant battering ram that usually takes like horses to drag. Let's zoom in at the top. And Jay, you want to give me like a cool story on how Metalli handles this problem, other than by I would like to hear how you are awesome.
How I am awesome. So he's going toe to toe with the Heartless.
You do not have to. That was just like a cool shot. But like, if you're like, no, actually, I want to be sneaky, I'm accepting that. That's not a
you may have just said this when I was like setting up Zoom things, but if not, I just want to repeat a detail that was important to me at the end of the last session, and maybe Shashi said this, but he threw his javelins. He threw a bunch of his javelins into the wall, so that the hounds could like scale
the black javelins,
the black corrupting
ones.
And I feel like he's probably got to have like one left at this point, right? That he's
holding. Yeah, he probably has a couple. Yeah.
Okay. But he also like just jumped up onto the wall. So last time Metalli tried to charge him over the edge of a bridge, yes. There's another opportunity. He's at the edge of the wall at the moment, as far as I understand. He's also
a parapet. There's definitely room for maneuvers. Yeah.
Yeah. He's twice Metalli's size, maybe. But you know,
not a ton. He does well. Actually, maybe. Yeah. Never mind. Carry on.
Stop making it worse, Sean.
I'm just saying he's on the edge of a big ledge. And there's a big fall beneath it. Just throwing that out. We're way up in the mountains. Falling is bad.
That is true.
Being felled. Never mind. Well, what is the verb when someone makes you fall? I don't know what that is.
Defenestration.
Defenestration. Thank you. Yeah. I think that's throwing out of a window, though.
That is throwing out of a window.
I mean, maybe he could be standing next to a window, for all I know.
So my question is, would there have been time for flashback?
There's always time for flashback. That's the greatest thing about flashbacks.
Do we have explosives?
You had them. Your explosive expert. Well, yes, but your explosive expert definitely took some explosives down the mountain and set them off. I don't know how much she has left. Probably a grenade.
I need enough to bring down a section of this wall.
Okay. Well, you know what? You can also just do it with wreck.
Okay. All right.
You have a unit of five people, and you have a heavy, right? And you had 24 hours to set up. So we already established that certain segments of the wall, you could have booby-trapped. And if some of those booby-traps involve, like, spikes that you can drive down to try and, like, take certain keystones out, I'm willing to do some flashbacks with you, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'd like is, I want to set it up so that we've booby-trapped this section of the wall.
Cool.
I'm goading him in so I can bring down or make the wall collapse where he is. And catch whatever else I can
awesome.
As that section falls.
Cool. So
I want to bury him in the rock there.
This sounds great. It's going to cost you one stress because even though you had time, this is kind of a big project. Like dropping sections of walls is
right.
It takes a little bit of complication, but we'll roll with it. One stress, and I'm going to give you. Sorry, that's my cat. Yeah, never she makes, yeah, you're probably going to see her making a cameo. Yep, hello.
There she is.
Ah, yeah, I love you, kitten. But let's talk about this. How do you bring the section of wall down? Do you, like, do you smash something with your hammer? Like, what does this look like?
Oh, heck
like?
Yeah. So I think that maybe it's an inverted crack so that the weak point is where I'm standing on. And I drop my hammer on it, or I smash it with my hammer to start the apple.
Do you smash it with the hammer of Matiar?
Do I have that?
Did you bring it? You can say you have it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we didn't say, but I'll tell you right now, the quartermaster would have sent it.
Oh, yes.
He sent everything else.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
All right, cool. So you're going to have to spend a second stress, I'm sorry, because you're wielding the hammer, right? Like you're holding the hammer and you're wielding the hammer. And you're going to have to make a rec roll. I'm going to say that it's a risky rec roll.
Okay.
There are two chief risks here. One, of course, that this thing is going to catch you before you can bring the wall down. Right. The other one being that you might get caught because if it does catch you, you may go down with this section of the wall, right?
Right.
But it's going to be a rec roll. And remember, if you're holding the hammer of Batyar, you always get plus one D to rec rolls, rec and rig rolls while using the hammer. So... let's see it.
Yeah. And Jay, do you want anyone else doing this with you that could assist you in this?
Yes, that would be great because I only have two stress left.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to remember who was playing who last time.
Do you want an assist or do you want a group where you don't lead?
An assist is good.
I mean, if I'm playing Fabia, like, I could just have given him an extra grenade. Like,
yeah, that sounds good. You want to do that?
My cheap assist.
All right. Spend a stress, Jay, plus 1D.
All right. So I'm rolling 4 dice total.
Nice.
And there they are.
There
totally
it is.
Should have checked.
Right, sorry.
Yes.
So I think there's this moment, right, where, like, this thing, like, reaches for you, it comes in, there's like a clang, right? By the way, feel free to jump in and just tell me that's not what happens because like I'm narrating stuff happening to your character here. But I'm imagining in my head like metallic calling out for like people to get into positions or whatever, and then like that hammer goes up, like, and we get that, like, zoom in, right? Like, and then the hammer comes down and hits it, and you see, like, light, like, go through all the cracks in the stone and everything, and then that section of the whole wall starts coming down, and I think it sweeps this whole mess down. They're probably gonna lose a bunch of people down the mountainside.
Right.
I'm going to actually make a clock and I'm gonna put some ticks on it. Okay.
Josh, I have a question about visibility.
Go ahead.
Is the Zora is up at like the top of the temple?
No, she's in the bottom.
Oh, she's in the bottom. Okay, never mind. I was hoping she could have seen that, but that's because I thought she was at the top.
Let me give you.
No, she's like almost underground, right?
Yeah. That's right. Well, I remember that Flavia went down to light the fires beneath her, and so I think I got mixed up that she was up higher. But no, that's all good. The rest of us saw it. The grinning lion saw it.
That's what counts, right? that clock there is going to represent the Heartless. I think it's buried under stone and rock. I think most of the lesser troops are probably shredded pretty badly. I think at this point, it's minor cleanup, right? Like, there might be, like, one hound that made it to the top of the hill, but even if it jumps, like, someone's just going to plug it with Blackshot. I'm not even going to make people roll, right? Like, that was kind of an epic moment. Here's the good news. The good news is that... you've solved this problem for now. The bad news is that you created a little bit of a like a walkway that people can't walk up to.
I was gonna say, like, can we talk about how we just blew a hole in our walls? Because
this happens. Like, you're fighting against like 50 troops coming at you. You got to do some stuff, right? Cool. So you folks have like a couple minutes. Let me see how that battering ram is doing. Real quick, I'm just gonna make a fortune roll. It's making headway. The door's pretty damaged. So I have questions for you, which is, how are you gonna handle like the front gates getting smashed in? Could be anything from reinforcing them or scaring the people down off or whatever you want to do. Just let me know what the plan is.
Misha, you're playing Grey Wafting Smoke, who's in charge, right?
Yeah.
So it's your call what we do.
I think before the gates get a chance to, I think she probably directs them to pour the water onto the troops below.
Okay. You mean on the guy who has no skin, and so everything is so his dermis is exposed because he doesn't have an epidermis? I can only imagine that would hurt.
One would hope it hurts a lot. I mean,
moving your epidermis seems like a really bad idea under any circumstance.
Oh, it's a terrible idea. As a matter of fact, most humans would be infected and dead, but clearly some supernatural element is at play here.
Yeah. But, he's just asking to be poured, have boiling water poured on.
Awesome. So there was a funny question where I was sitting at lunch and I was talking to John Alal, who's my co-designer on this game. And I'm sitting there like, just cut up a little piece of chicken. All of a sudden I look up and I go, so what action do you use to dub giant cauldrons to like melt people at the base of walls? And John looks at me and goes like, well, you're wrecking them, of course. I was like, oh, okay. And I just kept eating my food. So this is probably also going to be a rickroll, but I'm willing to entertain any action that you want to pitch me. Like, if you describe like, wrecking some fools with basically siege defenses, that feels like wreck to me, but do you have a different suggestion?
No, that works.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
It could be maneuver or marshal to like get like it could be marshal to like get everyone to pour the like it's marshaling the troops to do it, or maneuver to like physically get it in place. I don't know. I could see other actions.
I am absolutely agreeing with this. It's just that if you're just like, nah, I just want to use siege weaponry, I'm like, okay. If that's the challenge, that sounds fine. That sounds wrecking to me. But yeah, if you want to be like, the actual challenge is organizing everyone to do it in unison, I'm cool with a martial role.
I don't think it's important for them to do it in unison so much as it is to keep their fingers out of the way.
Yeah.
Because, if one comes after another, that's fine. It's just a longer time that they're getting boiled. It's fine. and that's really disturbing when you say it like that.
Sieges, they're not pretty.
Just like cows.
Just like cows.
Giant chicken people.
Bobby is not a rookie anymore. She's
no, she's not.
She's a freaking hard.
She has lost her naive hope. Is the one yeah, thing sure I find. Is. There's a tiny note is the fact that only rookies have naive hope, and once you stop being a rookie, you don't have naive hope. So I find that absolutely delightful.
The only other thing I could think it might possibly be would be skirmish, possibly.
Skirmish is usually like close range battle, right? Yeah. So it's like pistols at 10 feet, it's like knives, it's wrestling.
It could be shoot, right?
It could be shoot. If you wanted to say like, oh, everyone lines up at the walls and shoots. And aims, down.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I could see shoot, especially if, since we had 24 hours to do this, if we like have some sort of like long, like concrete pouring funnel, like some sort of thing that we're aiming actually to pour, you know, that we have some sort of way of pointing it at him and aiming it at him. So we're spraying the boiling water in the right place.
Shoot is firing with precision at long range. I would not buy that, but you can just shoot him with bullets. That's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can see it being coordinated. All right, dump and fire. Because I actually have shoot and I don't have rack. So.
hey, Merzrith, this is episode 9, I believe. Yeah, no, yeah. We're in it.
I was counting it in my head. Yeah. Pretty sure.
Well, it's confusing because every other time has been.
Yeah.
And the mission number is the episode number, but this is mission 8, part 2, episode 9.
What's the
position effect, Strush?
What are you doing? Shooting?
Yeah.
It's controlled but limited.
And is this, just to clarify, are you shooting, you're shooting bullets?
Yes.
You have black shot. I equip
yes, everybody. He's not undead.
Oh.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah. I'm not focusing on the fact that he's kind of, to quote Death Note, juicy, but yeah, he's definitely alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So controlled,
limited.
Yeah, you can push for effect if you want to, you can expose yourself more to increase the effect. You can have people get right at the edge and change that to risky standard by exposing them to more danger, or just push for effect if you want more than limited.
I can spend grit to push myself.
Oh yeah, you can.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, let's do that.
Is that because you're relentless?
That is because I'm relentless.
Oh snap, OP, you made it, John.
Not the worst.
I'm sorry, I was staring at Twitch chat. Threes and threes, that's a complete. Yeah, I think there's just a moment where you rain down a bunch of bullets and you see one of them, for example, like hit him in the chest and come out his back. And he looks up at like you with like you can see a hole. There's like liquid running out his back. But like he looks at you with annoyance. And he takes the ram and he hefts it on one shoulder. And at that point, like the bullets are mostly hitting the giant like tree trunk. And then, he just rams the door. And at this point, you start hearing the door crack. What would you like to do?
Did the boiling water have any effect on him?
you were rolling shoot with bullets.
Yeah, so I was envisioning that a couple of people were dumping the water while the rest of us were shooting.
Dumping water is not shoot. Dumping water is something other than shoot. Okay. But shoot is shoot.
Gotcha.
And yeah, you hit him. It just doesn't seem to do much.
Okay.
And then, like I said, he picks up the tree and he mostly shields himself from the shots. Like at that point, nothing else hits him. And at this point, the door is starting to fall apart. So what I'm actually saying is, you can't shoot no more. You've lost your capacity to shoot at this problem. He's basically like protected from shoot actions because that's what happens on a controlled 1-3.
Right. But it does mean you can still try other things. So you could now try you could try rack or maneuver or marshal or whatever to pour the water on him. Yep. or one of us could jump in, you know, if you command someone else to do something too.
Yeah, she probably like yells to dump the water then.
Cool. So. What action would you use to do that?
Probably either martial or discipline, it sounds like, probably.
Both sound fine. Wreck is fine. Eshan was given suggestions, but however you want to frame it is okay. Discipline or martial is both great. I don't know if you have dice in any of those.
I don't have dice in any of those three skills. Yeah.
I mean, you could tell, Jen, you're playing Flavia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, either one of us can just be playing another character, right? I'm one of the rookies. If Flavia and Cobalt are out of the scene, or we could show up behind, and I guess we can't do anything with water for outside, though. Never mind.
It's true. If you want to show up from behind and try and be like, all right, you tried, Misha. It was a good try, but let's try a different thing from behind. See if we can lure him away some other way.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Does he have like troops around him, or is he solo right now?
He actually put a bunch of Black Oak Knights on standby, right? But they're like away from the walls because they don't necessarily want to get shot at while they're waiting for him to break the doors. If you recall, a bunch of horses brought the ram, and then he told them to like move back when people started shooting at him, and he just picked up the ram himself.
Right.
So he is separated from his troops. There are troops between like downstream and him. You'll probably have to make a roll to like bypass them somehow in an efficient manner. But you've had the time. It's just a question of
if
they notice you, like what's up. You can do something funky if you have a plan. Or people could try and like rebrace the door with like rig. There's like a hundred options. It's just what are you doing?
Right. Misha, what do you want? Where do you want to center the action?
Let's get somebody on the walls to dump the water, while somebody is reinforcing the doors.
Cool. So you yell at some people to dump the water over and see if that'll solve the problem, and you yell at a couple people to go downstairs and try and reinforce the walls with whatever junk you folks collected over the last day.
Yeah.
Some timbers or whatever. I'm sure you did. Like that's
yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we probably actually reinforced the doors before they even got there. There's no reason not.
It's true, but when a door is cracking like so, making sure that you get it on the point that it's falling apart on will usually like stabilize it more so than just generic. I put three carts in front of it, you know.
So somebody shore up the door, and then somebody else dump the water. So
cool. We'll deal with the shoring up in a second if the water stuff fails. So how do you want to deal with the water? What do you want to roll to make the water happen?
I don't suppose this is sway.
Probably not. But I mean, when I say probably not, I need you to describe an action that is actually swaying that will somehow lead to this outcome. I can't imagine one, but that doesn't seem possible.
We'll go with discipline. Discipline makes
sense. I was going to say, your sway could be that you are trying to convince the troops that we're winning as the door cracks.
Mm. We've got them on the ropes! Dump the
water! I mean,
that would...
I feel that like that would be a setup action to like...
Yeah, I was going to say, at best it would be a setup action, but it would possibly like... lose time. That's like the consequences, because setup actions have threat as well, right? Like
but it could be a setup action to get increased effect, you know. I don't know.
What's your maneuver look like? Maybe it's getting into position, getting folks with the water ready, looking for vulnerable spots.
I got a one in maneuver.
I mean, if it's better than zero, you can
make that.
Yeah.
The downside of choosing the wrong action is that my job is to change the risk levels and also to change the effect levels. But maneuver also handles like lifting, like, you know, bench press kind of stuff. I'm going to send three people away and I'm going to try and be like extra tough to like make up for them. Sounds absolutely maneuvery to me. All right. I'm going to give you a controlled, probably a controlled standard effect here. The reason the previous thing was limited is Both don't do a whole lot on Arag. He's not right. Boiling water, honestly, won't do a whole ton possibly either, but it's going to do a whole lot more. Just there's more of it. you're coding him in it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So question, with Relentless, it says you can spend grit. Is that on every action or is that a
one? Yeah, but it's a use per. So how many grit do you have?
Just the one.
Then you can spend the one and that's it.
Okay. Does anybody want to assist?
I don't think there's anyone with you there.
Yeah, I would, but I don't know how I would do that.
This is happening kind of concurrently with Motali.
Well, actually, the wall went down already. It's just that Irak's response is, never send undead to do a Black Oak's job, and then he just keeps smashing.
Yeah. Nice.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Cool. So I'm gonna set up another clock here.
John. Yeah. John was saying in chat, if you seize a risky opportunity, you keep the bonus die.
It is true, but you have to make it risky somehow, right? Like
you're following up. This was choose a different action.
Yep.
That stayed control.
Correct.
But yeah.
I felt you folks. I did. So I'm gonna put two ticks on this this new clock, and that's gonna be the clock for Irag. So I think there's probably a moment where the boiling water comes down and there's this howl of steam, right? And you actually like see the ram just like hit the door again and you're like, what is it gonna take? And then you see it like hit the door a little slower and then like it kind of like shakes for a second and you see like Irag fall to one knee. So the Black Oak Knights rush in and they do that whole thing where they like put up their shields and try to create a protective barrier to drag him away. And you actually see him like one-handed like throw a horse and a dude like a good 10 feet to the side like with one hand. And then, but the rest of them managed to sort of,
I think he threw a horse.
Can I, as Rhea, I know I'm not like playing Rhea, but can I do a flashback and have her add something hanky to that water? Because she's a chemist now.
Probably not. The reason I'm saying why not, Rhea's on a completely different mission. She's nowhere near this place.
Is she not?
No, she's on the other mission because it needed a medic.
Yeah, Rhea went on the second.
Oh, I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would be 100% with you, and I would think that that's an awesome role. I would be right behind you. It's just she never came up the mountain, and all of your sources of water are like snowmelt and stuff here, so like she wouldn't have had the awkward.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
If you had an officer, they might be able to channel something. There could be like a really contrived flashback, would probably be like 2-3 stress kind of stuff.
But I would say that Jen, that Flavia and Cobalt Raging Blaze are probably right behind all of this action watching this.
Yep.
And Flavia has like grenades and like they're all putting up this shield to like protect from like shots. They're probably not like putting up a shield to like protect from like a grenade rolling underneath.
And those shields might hold that explosion in pretty well.
Yeah, right. Like, so I mean, fair. Feel like this is a good opportunity for us to kind of make an appearance and assist from the other side.
So there, like 30 seconds ago, there was a blast of thunder as Metalli brought down a section of wall, and now there's going to be a blast of thunder as you clear the front. Yeah, I'm in. As per request of all of my players, I'm going to move the camera away from any animals being harmed. But understand, there's going to be some carnage under the shields. We just won't look at it too closely. If that's cool.
Yeah.
Give me a rec. I mean, it's risky because there's a lot of Black Oak Knights, and you got to kind of get a little bit close to like roll that grenade. But it's doable.
Yeah. I feel like up until this point, Cobalt and Flavia have been coordinating. They've coordinated the whole planning of the explosives. They had all things. So I'm gonna give you an assist.
Okay,
you can do one better, Sean.
What's that?
This may be the perfect opportunity for you to do a setup using Scout to stealth you folks close enough to drop that right into the pack.
I mean, yeah, that's basically what I was thinking, which is like sneak ahead. And I'm going to...
You're not a ghost build, because for a ghost build, that stuff is cake. But it is risky, but it is a really good setup. If you can get close enough to roll that grenade, it's going to be perfect. That's extra.
Sean, I was going to say, also, Flavia has two in scout. So if we did a group thing,
let's do a group action. Okay, so I'm going to lead a group action, because I want to be able to take the stress.
Yep.
And let's both scout out the best. And what I'm envisioning is like we're like climbing. We have winter clothing. We're like climbing through the through the snowpack, and like the way deers make deer trails, and we just like like not on the path at all. And so we're just gonna like slide down and like right into their midst. But we have to just time it just right. We've been like chipping a little ways the whole time with to make the perfect like slide down to get to them. So if that's cool,
yeah, I dig it.
All right. What is our scout position and effect to do
risky, this setup? Standard. Standard meaning you make this roll, you get close enough, you're in position, you have all your bonuses, and risky being they'll spy you, right? Like, it is risky. You're getting close to a bunch of people that are pretty deadly, and there's more of them than you. That's pretty risky.
Yeah. I kind of want to make it desperate, but I don't think there'd be any point.
No, don't do that.
Because I'm a daredevil. That's what it is.
I'm
okay with that. I mean, just by getting even more closer or dashing the last like 15 yards, that's pretty desperate. Like, if you make that desperate roll, you're going to be close enough that they're going to be able to strike at you. There might be harm on the table.
Yeah. If we make the risky roll.
You make the desperate roll, both of you get XPs, there's an extra die on the table, I'm just saying.
If this is a desperate roll, does it count as charging into the teeth of an enemy that outnumbers or outguns me?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I'm not maneuvering, but I do.
I don't know. Maybe you can convince Sean to maneuver. You can make the mad dash sprint for the last like 10 feet. That's a way to make it desperate. I'm in.
I mean, I'm better at scout than I am at maneuver.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm rolling two either way.
So. Okay. Let's not strain the fiction for an extra die. Okay. I think we're scouting up. We're trying to be careful. We're not making the mad dash. We might be in a second. Depends on how this roll goes. So let's start with the careful scout.
So first off, make sure to mark an XP, both of you and Prowess. Scout is insight.
I don't think we're doing desperate. We're just
you're not doing desperate.
Okay.
We're just doing risky standard.
Risky standard. Here we go.
The name of my cover band.
Oh, Sean pulls it out of the last die.
Yep.
Last die, does it.
So, what's the... Let me establish a threat, and then you folks tell me how you overcome it, because clearly you rolled a six. I think it's probably actually, like, the guy that got shoved is out of position, right? And, like, his horse is like, right? Like, it notices you folks, or thinks it notices something. How do you folks, like, hide from view and like keep out of sight and not get shot at while you get close enough to roll this grenade?
I have a thing I want to do.
You roll the six, so you get to narrate it.
I don't think we stay out of sight of the horse. Cobalt Raging Blaze, you've seen her like antler kind of effects right now. There's she has a musk, and I like when the horse is like like she's just like, she's a horse whispers here a little bit.
Okay.
And the horse is just like, okay, you know, and like, assuming the horse is just normal horses, right? These aren't.
They're a little messed up.
Okay.
But not ridiculously. Like they have to be
a little messed up. Otherwise they'd be running away.
Yep. They're not running away from undead. Most animals are terrified of undead. You get the feeling that they don't feed them necessarily grass. Just leave it that. Yeah, the horses are not 100% right, but they're not magical.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, so I think it's when the horse sniffs something, then instead she sort of unrolls has a little ball of like feed.
Do you remember being a horse? Do you remember grass?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And there's a little spring smell in the air. And the horse kind of gets distracted by that instead.
I love it.
fits more cool. Stuff too.
So you folks have great effect on your wreck here. Go ahead and let's see it happen.
Do you want to group? What's the position on wreck?
Risky again because you're going to reveal your position by rolling this thing in and setting it off.
Yeah.
And great.
Risky, great.
The grenade has scale, and also you are now close enough. You're literally rolling a grenade into a pack of people that are clustered up. You can't ask for a better outcome.
Yeah. I like it. Would you like an assist or would you like?
I was going to say, so I have a 2 in rec, so I'm mm-hmm. just rolling 2. I do have space to push myself.
Okay.
So I could do that.
I don't see any way that I can do a group action or a group action with rec because it's one person's got to throw the grenade.
Yeah,
I think I can assist.
Okay.
If we sneak up close enough, I'm basically
somebody that looks at you. You can just put an arrow in them. Whatever. Yeah, there's 100 ways to assist.
I'm covering you. I got the bow and. I think I like shoot an arrow into the snow ice pack so they kind of look one direction as they hear the clunk in front of them and then let you sneak up behind. So I'm going to spend this stress for the...
Cool. So I will mark my 2 stress and I have 2 bonus die.
Yeah.
Yes! Got 6.
That's the last die, dude.
All right, so I'm gonna give you 3 ticks for great and an extra tick for the effect from the assist. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Not the assist, the setup. My bad.
Yeah.
Gotta use the right words. All right.
I know what you meant.
1, 2, 3. Oh wait, 4. Uh-huh. All right. So this is not a crit, but I think there's probably a moment. I'm going to give you like 3 cool things that happen. The first one is that a grenade in the middle of a pack of mounted people just means that they're in chaos and disarray. Many of them are badly wounded. They're on the ground. There's, it's not pretty. The snow runs red. I'm going to say that the battering ram is somewhat damaged. It's not in great condition right now. Like it just took a grenade at short range. I don't think it's like splintered in half or anything like that. That only happens.
Yeah.
But it is damaged. It's not like, hail. On the other hand, the first person that stands up is Mr. I don't have skin.
Mr. Skinless.
Mr. Skinless, yeah.
I eat grenades for breakfast.
He's smoking and he doesn't look good. I think that I'm just like he's wounded, and in the same way that you folks take harm. And like it makes you function less effectively. I think that he's smoking. There's probably like a chunk of him that's bleeding a little extra hard. It's not looking so good. Like there's probably like chunks of whatever exploded with the grenade. It's like a section of someone's shield that blew up that went in there. And he's standing there looking like you have some ways that you might be able to hurt him. Like before this, he seemed like an invulnerable beast, right? But like you've fought horrors before and you know that like for them, a lot of times they show no, like you drill them with round after round and they're just like, they fight until they stop.
Right.
And he doesn't, he's human, right? Like he is supernaturally strong. He feels no pain. He's a weapon master actually. But he's, like his sinews need to work, his muscles need to connect for him to be able to move his parts correctly. And
right
now he's not 100. So there are exploits, there are ways that you might be able to hurt him further. But as he stands up, he looks right at the two of you and then at the gate, like he's trying to decide what he's going to do. What do you folks want to do?
Jet, Misha, are you having anything in mind up top? Now that he's no longer protected or anything like that, I mean, we can keep going. I just didn't know if you want.
No, it's okay. We can shift away to like I was gonna get your like point of view. Like if you're like we're gonna attack him, I'm like awesome. You charge towards him and.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have an arrow knocked already. Yeah. No, I'm thinking plug the hell out of him. I'm thinking while he's weakened and slowed, we just unload on him. But I don't know that that's the next action beat, but that's sort of my.
Yeah, I think up on the wall, Grey Wafting Smoke like sees him like stand and like waver, and she yells, muskets! And directs people to shoot again. Because
awesome, yeah. Give me a control shoot. Taken.
Yeah.
Control nice. Standard. Why not?
I'm gonna assist by putting an arrow in him. I don't know that arrow is gonna hurt him, but I think it's gonna distract him.
Yeah, it's probably not gonna hurt him.
Right. But I mean, it's keeping his attention. So
yeah, it will. Right? Arrows actually have a surprising amount of momentum, and this is where Strush talks too much about archery. Let's just continue.
But this is where I pull the John.
This is a cool anime scene. I'm not gonna ask questions. Let's go.
This is where I pull the John LaBeouf move where I
you do the cool action as a setup and you don't have to roll.
Exactly. So like as he raises his hand, an arrow goes right through the webbing between his thumb.
Yeah, and he like roars, and then like two more arrows sink into him, and then like as he's like twirling, then the bullets storm.
The bullets come right down. So
Exactly. not a lot of weapon master can do against people on a wall unless they have cool hammers of Matiar.
I gotta We get a five.
Okay. So here's the good news. You're going to hit him, and I'm going to give you like standard effects. I'm going to put 2 ticks on him. Here's the bad news. He's going to charge towards. What did I do?
I don't know.
Oh, I clicked random side. I am so sorry.
It had 6 ticks on it already, I think. 2 from the water, because that was standard effect, and 4 from the grenade. So it should be up to 8 ticks, I think.
Excellent. I'm going to put 8 ticks on it right there. He's at 8 ticks, so he's hurt, but 2 things are going to happen. One, he decides to charge the 2 people on the ground, and 2, the other unit that's sitting in reserve, you see how there's like a giant red arrow? That thing is going to come charging forward. Ugly situation. What are you folks doing? There's people on the wall. There's people on the ground. What are the people on the ground doing? There's really only 2 options. Option 1 is run.
Yeah.
Option 2 is charge into the teeth of the enemy.
Yeah, right. I mean, those are consequences. And if we have a means to resist them, we can try to resist them, right?
Correct.
Like, yeah. Right. I'm not immediately thinking of the means to resist him deciding to charge after us. Like, that's a decision.
Closing. That's, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like he's also beat up enough that like us saying boo, you know, might dissuade him. A little more violent than boo, but of that nature. I don't know, Jen, do you want to just charge him? I mean, you have
over the top.
You have over the top, and I have like the win, which means whenever there's a question of who goes first, it's me. So if there's a question of who swings that sword first, it's gonna be me, unless he also has over the top.
Let's just go after this guy.
So Misha, do you shoot the oncoming unit to try and stop them from just basically adding massive scale to this guy, or do you have a different plan?
Yeah, if they're charging, then I'd probably try to, because we need those 2 people, because there's only 7 of us.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd be trying to save the 2 people.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do this. I think Misha, would you be willing to do another controlled shoot to see how that goes?
I can do that. Controlled standard?
Yeah.
Can this be a prowess resist, just to resist the consequence?
No,
it's still shooting, but
it can be. Yeah, that's fine. You can
prowess resist
the consequence by shooting at them. Yeah, that's fine. It's up to you. Prowess resists are risky, right? Because you might take some stress and trauma out.
Well.
It's risking stress or success.
Yep.
I currently have no stress, so.
Effort, then resist that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I resist?
Well, that's right, you push with grit. Now, you would clear a stress, but you have none.
Oh, God.
So I think gray wafting is going to give this command. What does this look like? Like, do you roar something? You've got this cool moment where you hold back an entire unit of cavalry with some well-placed shots. What does it look like?
So, I think, there's this like outcropping right before they get to, they're charged up and there's this outcropping, and she just like aims perfectly so that she hits it and takes it out, and so now there's this like chasm that opens up and kind of prevents them from coming any closer.
Awesome. So this is maybe one of those traps that you set up in the day that you were shoot something and it just collapses an entire mound of snow. And yeah, awesome, that sounds rad. Back on the ground, the two of you, Sean, you go first. What would you like to do?
Yeah, we're charging in with our weapons. Yeah.
Like you do.
I'm seeing this like cool ballet, right? Because I think what happens is he pulls out his weapon, which is like some battle axe, and usually like people wield it two-handed, but like one of his shoulders is like messed up and he's got that shield underneath it, so it's not moving quite right, and he like puts it over one shoulder, and there's that like, it's almost like some FromSoft friggin' game, right? Where like you're like leaping up, like shooting arrows down, and he's like cutting things in midair. You've got this like soldier charging in, screaming, like it's probably like a cool fight.
Yeah.
Imagine a cool fight scene,
right? Yeah, imagine a cool fight scene. Yeah. So my thought is Cobalt is Legolasing this dude as Flavia is charging up. Flavia, what kind of weapon do you use?
It says fine hand weapon.
Yeah, it could be anything bigger than a dagger, a hammer, an axe, a sword, a spear, a lance. That's, I guess, a heavy weapon probably.
Yeah, that's a heavy weapon. Anything you can use with one hand, even theoretically.
Can it just be like a big ass knife, like a butcher knife?
Usually they tend to be a little bit bigger than that.
Okay.
But if you want to say like, yeah, my butcher knife is roughly the size of a gladius, I'm okay with that. Okay. Yeah.
One of those big cleavers.
It's like half axe, half sword.
Yes. Well, it takes a big blade to cut up a whole cow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Neat. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to charge in. I'm going to stay using my bow, but use skirmish because that's fighting up close.
Yeah. Right?
And Sean, are you assisting or are you doing a group action? What's the plan here?
I think it's a group action. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I
think who's leading?
I only have 3 stress free.
I only have 2, but I'm okay leading.
Okay, let's see.
What's our position and effect to charge into
skirmish? Desperate standard.
Desperate standard. Awesome.
If you had a good plan on how to leverage his damage, I might even give you great. But the reason it's desperate is
I have a plan.
I love Jen plans. They're my Jen favorite. Plans are the let's hear a Jen plan.
I am the butcher.
Yes, and you
this
are.
Is a big sack of meat that is not covered in skin.
That
I
is
can
ultra.
See his muscles, and I know which ones connect. I can see which ones connect to the ones holding the battering ram.
So you're giving your scouts some like hand signals. Mm-hmm. The two of you are like jamming, right? And like you're just like just turn him, right? And like. If he goes up and that axe goes up, you know exactly how to like slide through and disconnect an arm.
I'm gonna do one better than just turning him. He's not really using that wounded arm. He's not. He's kind of letting it fall. I'm gonna pin that arm to that battering ram. And he's still got his one axe, but
that's totally amazing. Awesome. Are either of you pushing?
Oh God, I can't. Well, I can, but then I can't.
I am, yes, because
would you like to push for dice or effect?
Because
there's still quite a few ticks left on this clock.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if we're doing a group action, I only have 1 in skirmish. Sean, I don't know about you.
I've got 1 in skirmish, but I'm a daredevil, so I'm getting 2. But okay. I do think you're charging into heedless and you clear a stress.
Oh, I did that already.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right.
You may want the dice then, because this guy is. And actually, Misha, if you're up top and you want to put a key shot in to like try and distract him or buy them time for an assist to one of them.
You call that stress free.
I was gonna say if Misha wants to assist me, then I'll be rolling 2.
Yeah.
And I can still roll 2 and then push myself for effect.
Okay. Let's do this.
Okay.
Can you shop for a 6 on 4 dice? Because this is going to be ugly if you can't.
Yep. I'm going to push myself too.
Okay.
Which means if either of us roll lower than a three,
well,
I'm charming.
Why don't you let me lead then?
Okay, that sounds fine.
Because I'll get to six, or I'll get to whatever, but I won't.
Okay. Go. Is it five? But she can absorb one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Misha marks stress. There's a key shot that goes in at a key moment. The two of you, let's see some dice. I have to warn you, 4 to 5s are very deadly here.
Is this still a risky standard?
I know, desperate. Desperate. Desperate great.
Desperate great.
Desperate great.
Desperate great.
Desperate great. And then I'm getting one from Misha. Bam!
We are hot tonight.
Also, why did it not give me my second die?
Because you rolled shoot, not skirmish, Sean.
Oh.
But if you would like to roll one more die, you can.
I'm going to see if I can crit. Thank you.
It can't be worse than a six.
What, dude? Why?
It's okay, Sean, I will take it as your roll. I'll give you the crit. How's that? It's like re-rolling the skill. You keep clicking shoot for some reason.
I don't know why you keep clicking shoot. I swear to
you. But this is cool. This counts as two dice. I think you folks are gonna pull it out here. Hang on. So one, two, three ticks, and then one more for effect. And there's a ton of sixes, and I think we're done. That puts them at 12, right? Yeah. So I think you just cut the correct tendon, just like he's a giant cow. His arm gets pinned. A key shot comes from above by Misha, you actually cut the tendon, and somehow he still manages to rotate it into a killing blow. But I think Misha's shot is so awesome. Grey Wasting Smoke's shot is so awesome that it probably Misha, how do you want to do this? Do you want to split like his axe handle? Do you want to shoot him in the hand? How do you want to do this?
I was thinking like one through the eyeball.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You want to be the killing blow on an assist? Yeah, be awesome with an assist. Yeah,
you totally get the killing blow on the assist.
I think that's it. I think you put him down. And I think that's the end of the assault. I think at this point they've lost their champion. They're not 100% sure. And there's probably a rift between, while Irag was there, everybody obeyed his orders on, so sorry. Everybody obeyed his orders unquestioningly. I think now with some harm on the table and everything else, it's not clear who's in charge, right? Because the Black Oak Knights are like, we're in charge, and like the undead are like, yeah, but we have a Heartless, and so there's a little bit of tension. They retreat. They're gonna retreat, and they're gonna lick their wounds. It's probably gonna take at least 24 hours before anything happens. What do you folks all want to do?
Reinforce the gates.
Done. I think that happens now that you have time. What are you doing about the giant gap that Mitali created? Mitali, do you have a plan? Or do you just stand in the gap and dare anyone?
That's right.
Holding the hammer of Matiar. I mean, it's not a terrible plan.
There are worse plans. I mean,
I actually have an idea. If we all get back together, right? Mm-hmm. And Grey Wafting Smoke and Flavia, if I remember correctly, were the two that wore Black Oak armor and pretended to be Black Oak Knights before, right? This has happened.
Yes.
We've done a little bit of studying the Black Oak armor because we retrieved some of it to see if it had mystical properties, and it doesn't. It's just, we kind of figured out you need to speak Zemyati and be convincing as one if we wanted to command the hounds or whatnot. I think if we kind of heard their grumbling as they were retreating, because Cobalt and Flavia were both like on the ground, so to speak, Cobalt suggests if we sneak in dressed as a Black Oak Knight and we start a fight between the two forces, they might turn against themselves. They're leaving out all sorts of details as to how any of this would happen. But like,
oh my God.
But like, you know, let's hit them instead of waiting for them to hit us is what.
Well, okay, but do we have spare armor?
You could loot through the battlefield. There was a grenade thrown into a pack of Black Oak Knights. I'm sure there is enough pieces that you can assemble a suit or three.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I have Scrounge. I mean, that's the ability.
Yes. You could just say, yeah, I have three suits of armor then. Never mind.
That is like, I could just be like, that's why I scrounged up.
You can scrounge up all sorts of stuff. Like, you can just be like, I need more timber. You can scrounge it up. Like, yeah. Scrounge is a great ability because it lets you... Like, the downside of it is that you can't get weird, right? Like, you can't be like, well, I brought this special chemical from camp. But you can find anything that's even remotely plausible in the local area. You can just make it appear.
Right. So, yeah. So, the answer is, do we have armor? And Cobalt's like, I can get us some.
Yeah.
Right. Nice.
They lost enough people that a few stragglers coming back late, who would know?
I mean, I definitely like the idea of hitting them before they come back to hit us again.
I like that too.
Right. Or we could just like sneak into their camp, slit their throats at night.
I mean, I'm also pro that plan.
Well, the Black Oak Knights.
Black Oak Knights do.
They do.
And you know
what? I have a plan.
Wafting smoke is like doing this. Like, how did I get in charge?
I think my plan is we should take a break for 5 minutes and discuss this, and then when we come back, we'll do whatever the plan is.
I like that plan.
Yeah, sounds good.
I was thinking a similar kind of plan. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
We'll see y'all in a few.
As Strash said, it was a problem of scale. How do you hold off a larger force? It didn't turn out to be the hordes of undead that we had to hoard off. Just one dude who pretty much counted his scale all by himself. A rag the flight, man. Let's line this up. First, Gray and a bunch of other rookies shot him. Didn't do much. Then, Gray commanded the rookies to pour the boiling water from above. Yeah, that seemed to bother him. He got some cover from his knights. Then, Flavia and Cobalt ran up, threw a grenade underneath, and blew them all up. Yeah, that made him mad. Then he got shot again by Gray. Okay, that just sort of seemed to aggravate him further. He called in his reinforcements, which Gray then collapsed with another trick shot so that they couldn't aid him. And finally, in a we got nothing left, Flavia and Cobalt just charged in. Arrows flying, big old butcher cleaver swinging, and Gray from up top with the final kill shot. Whew, that dude, that was a tough cookie. And we got very lucky with a lot of sixes. Anyway, this is good times, but the mission isn't over yet. We have a brilliant idea, the kind that only a Cobalt could think of, or only a Crimson could think of. Maybe Cobalt was channeling Crimson Rising Tide here. Let's just sneak into their camps and turn them against themselves, against each other. Nothing could go wrong. Join us for the next one.